At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another live stream and podcast episode of Public Access America. My name is Jason. We're just waiting for our hosts, co-hosts, guests, and all that to start. And before we hit the live stream button, I just wanted to do some house cleaning and say thank you for listening. You can find our live stream on YouTube, Public Access America, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific every Sunday. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, Amazon Music, Victor Reader, TuneIn, Pocket Addict, and more. And go ahead and check out Inspirations Beyond Disabilities, another great podcast of ours. We just put out a best of clip show, and I like it. We ended it with a really great clip. They are all great clips. Kai and Ezric and I, we talk about ADHD, and then Caitlin from an old episode that we did on Public Access America, as a matter of fact, about dating while being blind, and then we wrap it up with teasing versus bullying when it comes to everybody, but let alone like disabled people and the boundaries of that. And then we talk about pop soda or soda pop. Which one do you say? And it's all funny to me. It's a great podcast. And Unsubscribe with Kai is on hiatus, so don't forget to at least subscribe to that. Subscribe to Unsubscribe. An oxymoron that you just gotta do. And then don't forget Adam Has a Beard, the podcast, the man, the myth, the legend, the mental health guru seeking motherfucker. He's part of our network, and yeah, he's got episodes coming out again, and we're really excited to have him back and part of the family. You know, podcasters take breaks from time to time, and we will too, but not right now. We're gonna be right back with the show right after this. Bye.
It is time now for something positive.
We might be headed to the promised land
of speaking the truth and finding our external liberty once we internally liberate ourselves.
The problem can only be solved when there is a kind of coalition of conscience.
Because that is how it works.
This is the beginning. It is not the finale. And that's why we're here, and that's why we rally.
We've got to be that creative minority.
Find a way to get in the way. I got in trouble. It was good trouble. It was necessary trouble.
Franklin, I know we've got to do something.
Yay. What?
Yay.
What? Sorry.
Ooh.
What? Welcome to Public Access America, everybody. Yay.
Shake weight, shake weight. Oh, I don't have a shake weight. Sorry.
What? No shake weight. That reminds me of Ragnarok. The guy's sitting there with his shake weight, and I'm just like, that cracks me up. You know what I mean?
He's trying to impress those chicks. He's just like, ooh. should you get that? He's like, ooh.
Shake weight was one of my favorites to come out because, like, I was sitting on the couch with all of my roommates, and we're sitting there watching this. Like, we think that this has to be a fucking Adult Swim gag.
Yeah.
And then we found out it was real, and we were like, Oh shit.
Oh, dude, that is hilarious. That is funny.
I love it.
I lost my shit when I saw that. I'm like, I don't even understand what is happening right now. I don't know. I don't get it. But you know what? sign me up for two.
Two. You know? Holy yeah. shit. One for the front and one for the back.
Wait. Shake weight. Now with the mouth adapter. Wait.
Right? What if the shake weight had teamed up with the fleshlight, you know?
Oh, damn.
Oh, God.
Damn, I feel like flesh weight.
Flesh weight.
Joe Rogan's right arm would be huge.
You mean it's not?
Not because of the shake weight, that's for sure.
Right, that's right.
Oh, my God.
It's the flesh weight for sure.
I mean,
the flesh weight.
Flesh weight. I mean, I've got to give credit to the inventor of the shake weight. He got everybody talking about masturbation one way or another.
Right.
And you also got to find out which of your family members were truly that innocent. Like, you don't realize that it looks like you're pumping a Peter. Oh, my God. Like, we're sitting. So, like, a company that I worked for, we did, you know, it was, you know, a white elephant Christmas. And somebody bought a fucking shake weight. And the one guy, like, we're sitting there. We're like, you know, all of us are snickering about it. And this one guy's wife is just like, I don't know. This thing looks pretty interesting. I might use it. And he's sitting there going, honey, please don't. And she like unwraps the thing. And she's like, what? I don't see what's wrong with it. I mean, he's turning red as all hell. We're all fucking dying at the Christmas party. And she's just like, well, this thing is great. I can't, you know, I mean.
The great white elephant gift, right?
Oh, it's a fantastic one.
Oh, God, it was so funny. And it's like at this point now, you know, because it was new at that point. But at this point, it's like, if you don't know that it looks like you're pumping dung, I don't know what to tell you at this point.
You're a meat twinkie.
Why didn't people make like rubber coverings for it so it could literally look like a penis? Because it's pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, you know, or, you know, maybe if you like choke your dick hard enough that you get mushroom puck head or something like that.
This is awesome. Because I posted the live stream on Twitter and I was like, hey, if you think I'm a jerk on Twitter, come watch the live stream.
I'm a jerk on Twitter and a jerk off on the live stream. Wait.
Oh, wow, I think shake weight stocks are going to go up in this week. You know what I mean?
Not invest. The only thing going up this week.
Oh, what? Ew.
Shake weight now in suppository.
Oh.
I can really feel it working on my sphincter.
I've never done more Kegels without doing a thing.
Oh, damn.
Like, wait, why does it feel like my shake weight keeps pushing in even further? Something's going on here. Or like, but the ads were just absolutely fantastic because it never featured anybody who is a normal person. It was all these like buff, ripped dudes that are sitting there just like hardcore. Like, you have to wonder, like, all of these dudes that like got paid to be a model for this, they're like, so you want me to use a machine that looks like I'm totally pumping a dick on my chest? How much am I getting paid for this? You're not going to show my face, right?
It should have come with a mister at the tip.
Oh, like they did on South Park?
Yes.
It's kind of like it was like somebody took the Spencer's version of Bop It, if you guys ever remember that one.
No. Yep.
So Spencer's took the Bop It hand game, and so you had Bop It, Twist It, Bop It, Twist It, Pull It, and there was something else. I keep forgetting what it was, but they programmed everything else. But they programmed out the other two, and so it was just pull it, 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 and it would get you to go faster and faster. Pull it, pull it, pull it, pull it, pull it, pull it, pull it. Ah, the funniest shit ever. But so it was like somebody took that and then were like, well, fuck it. Let's turn this into a serious exercise.
Oh, damn. Damn.
And then that's how you end up with shake weight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hey, good times. It. Yeah.
Go get yourself a shake weight. Get somebody a shake weight this Christmas. They need it.
Yeah. My middle name is Shake Weight. So
with all this COVID and isolation and the pandemic, people are getting out again and they really need to work on their motion with the ocean. You know what I mean?
I'm just afraid of anybody who actually grips my dick the way that they grip a shake weight. That thing's getting pulled straight the fuck off.
That thing is getting snapped.
So that's what I'm doing wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, I pulled it once and I heard a click. Is everything okay? Me over there like,
You got to mind the stepchildren too, bro. Don't forget those.
I guess my shake weight grinder video is the reason I'm not getting a lot of likes, huh?
That's probably it. You got to loosen the grip a little bit, buddy.
Just a little. Just
loosen the grip and mind the stepchildren.
Things you can learn on Public Access America.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. America.
I love that. Oh.
America, when you love your shake weight so much that... Wait.
What? Right.
Let's get past the politics and back to the shake weight.
The hell with politics. Let's talk about, you know, working on your masturbation game.
Yes.
I had to laugh because, like, you know, having teenagers now, they're at that age where, you know, I mean, let's be realistic. How many of us at 14, 16 were hearing all sorts of shit and we were just like snickering? Uh-huh. But we never talked about it with our parents because it was like something you didn't do. Well, you know, with our kids, you know, we get to talk about all this shit. So, of course, you know, lately has been like the realm of what are the euphemisms for masturbation? Like, you know, like jerking off, whacking it, polishing the pole, flogging the hog, whacking the weasel. My personal favorite was always shaking hands with the unemployed.
Oh, nice.
That one cuts deep.
Get the stranger sit on your hand for a while, right?
Massaging the meat twinkie? No. Ooh. No.
There's a band out there called Bill Murray. You know, like named after the actor, but it's spelled B-I-L-M-U-R-I. And they released a song not that long ago called Absolutely Cranking My Fucking Hog.
Nice.
Attaboy. Attaboy, Bill Murray.
Wow.
I fucking love it.
I think we're on the division in America right now. It's people that are willing to talk about masturbation and people that don't want to acknowledge it.
Right.
Yes. Right. I think we all need to just masturbate 3 times a day for the next week and then come back to the discussions.
Mm.
Yeah, beat it and learn something. Wait.
For some of us, it'll be a little less. For others, it'll be a lot more.
Yeah, a little less right here. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's welcome to talk about, you know, masturbation with us. All they got to do is take off their pants and jacket.
Right. Ooh, damn. Whoops.
Wow.
Well. Some people will get it, some people will not. That's okay. That's all right.
It's all right. It's all right.
I got it.
We're just not wearing any pants right now. Right here, you
know? Hey, check this out, everybody. Live stream suddenly is offline.
Right. We are authorities on COVID and masturbation.
Well, as three people who have actively participated in masturbation, I feel like no.
Oh, yeah, they always say you go blind, right? I can't see the TV screen. Am I on the TV? What is this thing here?
Well, I guess we finally solved what happened to Jason.
I don't want to go there. I was trying not to go there. You got to be sensitive. Come on.
You know,
you see me, Jason? Blake, you see me, right?
I'm not embarrassed about it.
You know, that was always one of my favorites. You know, when I was working with my dad, sometimes we would have fun and I told him that joke and he's like, oh fuck, we're doing this on the job site. So my dad, so there's a bunch of us. I mean, there were probably 20 of us working on this one site and I'm over like working on wall forms and my dad comes and he just starts yelling, son, what the fuck are you doing? You gotta quit whacking it. Son, you know, if you keep masturbating like this, you're gonna go blind. And he's like looking over one way and I just go, hey, I'm over here, Dad. And I mean, everybody on the fucking job site just lost.
I fucking love that.
So, you know, I mean, it's one of those things, like, you know, I'm sure, Jay, you know, I was talking about this with our roommate last night. Like, everybody has their own way of dealing with the stuff that comes up in their life. Like me having severe clinical depression and having been suicidal in the past, I tell a lot of really fucked up jokes about being depressed and suicide and why. It's because it's my way of coping with, you know, what I have. And I'm sure that you probably have some of your own jokes about blindness, you know?
And but so that's kind of in time, you know what I mean? When I trip on something, it's funny. Yeah.
But you know, we all have that. We all have that, you know, it's like a little coping mechanism, but at the same time, it's that acceptance of our reality and what we've lived. And so, you know, there's, you know, and that's kind of one of those things where I've gotten some real kickback on, well, how can you make jokes about depression and suicide when you've never gone through it? I'm like, hi, you may not know my story, but.
Yeah, but shut your dirty, filthy whore mouth, because now you're about to learn, right?
Exactly. And it's like, you know, I don't make light of anybody else's situation. I make light of my own. And that's the difference.
100%. That's what separates us from the animals, I would like to call them. Because like, if you have a path, dude, and like they didn't, they were these sheltered people who were given spoon fed everything right up their little chocolate starfishes with everything they ever wanted, right? Some of us really had to struggle to get what we wanted and even have our own path and even have our own story and then be able to laugh and be joyful about the dark shit that we've gone through. Man,
you were on the edge of something. That's something worth bragging about, you know what I mean? If you haven't considered suicide, you've never struggled, and if you've never struggled, you've never lived.
That's true, and that's you know, you start to see where some people's lack of experience and in hardship really plays out. You know, I commonly joke about the fact that, you know, shit can hit the fan, and you know, this person that you know that's been telling jokes for the last 15 20 minutes straight suddenly disappears, and it's like, okay, we're going to do this, and this. And people just get absolutely, you know, blindsided by the fact that, like, I can, like, hit this weird Zen moment, and it's like everything just lays out in front of me perfectly. And I'm like, okay, you need to do this. I need to do this. We got to get this done, and, you know, we'll resolve this. But then, you know, me sitting there trying to figure out how to get the fucking wrapping off of something because they child-proofed it is like, motherfucker!
Right,
mother of God.
You know, and my aunt and I have laughed about this constantly, because it's like, you know, you, when you grow up in those hardships, you get used to living in that hardship, and it's like, when something difficult comes up, you're just able to go, okay, this is how we're going to handle this.
And it all just
smooths out. And yeah, sure, there's going to be some uncertainty, but you know, it's kind of that, if you don't commit to what you're going to do, then you're going to find yourself struggling even harder. And people who haven't, you know, really struggled tend to struggle with the idea of, okay, I've just got to commit to something and I've got to just go with it and learn if it's working and adapt as quickly as I can.
I think people that never struggled struggle to find people to fix it for them.
Oh, 100%.
Absolutely. Man.
I think that's their struggle, but that they've never learned those life lessons. You either learn from watching other people go through shit, or you learn from your own shit. And I have the great ability of combining those. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I agree too, man. 100%, man.
Yeah, that's absolutely cool, though. But everybody should know that, you know, almost everybody's considered suicide. But for me, it's a zero sum. If tomorrow has the potential, even 2% of being better than today, then it's worth trying. But for some people, that's not a reality. For some people, tomorrow doesn't have a promise of being any better than today. They're in so much pain and misery. And there's a compassionate bill in Pennsylvania that they're suggesting to give responsibility to the doctor to determine whether this person can end their own life in a compassionate way. And I think that's so cool. We need to start thinking about stuff like that, you know?
You know, and that's something that, growing up on a farm and having tons of animals, like, you know, we have taken this road of, you know, it's inhumane to let an animal suffer. Like, we, you know, objectively, we look at our pets, we look at our food sources, and we're like, okay, yeah, renal failure, the medicine is going to kill the animal, and they're going to be suffering the entire way, or you know, we give them a dignified death and they don't have to sit there in suffering, and we're not just medicating them out of their minds. To me, it's one of those things where I know that a lot of people probably, you know, are not a fan of that idea, but at the same time, it's like, what makes us so different from anything else that, you know, we're willing to talk about ending the suffering of an animal, but not ending the suffering of a human being who is terminal? Because to me, that's wrong. Like, the idea of being so selfish that you can't let a person go when they're in just agonizing pain and they have no autonomy left whatsoever. You know, and I'm not talking like they're in a wheelchair. I'm talking like, you know, the people who are suffering seizures nonstop and can't do anything.
Yeah. Stage four something, you know, they've done their bucket list. They're done. They're ready to go. You know? Yeah.
I think that'd be kind of cool if you had like, well, I don't know if it's cool or not. Maybe I misspoke just now, but if you have like some kind of terminal thing and then you're like, you know what, fuck it. At the end of this, I just want to kick it. So, hey, I want this bucket list done. At the end of this bucket list, like, check out. Boom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then I
number,
think it'd be.
Make it number 10 on your bucket list.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's been, like, with Oregon's law, I know that they had to revise it, I think, once, because basically the way that it was written was, is that you had to, like, be on the cusp of that point of being, you know, losing control of your body.
Yeah.
You like, how objectively do you measure that? Because how do you know that, you know, well, this seizure ended, how do you know that the next seizure isn't going to? You know, there is no objective way to understand that. And this revolved around, I think she was like a 25-year-old girl and a 25-year-old woman. And she just, you know, she had, it was a stage 4 brain cancer. And, you know, she would just slip into these hours-long seizures.
God damn.
And it's like, at what point do you get to say, no, the seizure ended. You're fine for now. So you have to keep going. That's bullshit. Like, I can't imagine, like, I've never had a seizure, and so I can't imagine the exhaustion coming out of a seizure to begin with, let alone having, like, an hours-long one, and then being told that, oh, yeah, this is going to kill you, but you can't end it your own way. You have to wait for this fucking seizure to end you. That's just shitty.
That is shitty. That's a horrible way. That's suffering right there.
Why are politicians making a law determining something that a doctor should have the opinion on? That's my issue. Why are politics preventing people from having a dignified death? Because it's a random line in the sand that they have a moral opinion about, you know?
Well, that's
like, get out of my healthcare, right? Just get out of my healthcare.
That's the issue at hand, is that it's politicians being involved in healthcare and asserting this religious principle that doesn't belong in that decision making. Like, how, you know, for example, as somebody who's on the atheist side of things, like, why do your, you know, religious laws apply to me when I don't subscribe to your view?
Right.
Why is it, you know, what if somebody is a Hindu and they believe in dignified death? Are you going to use the same Judeo-Christian principles and enforce that on people who are Hindu? That doesn't make any sense. Essentially, what you're establishing is this principle that religion gets to play a role in the law that is created. And I think that's bullshit. Now, don't get me wrong. You don't want somebody like a Kevorkian running about and just ending people. But at the same time, too, it's very much a, it's very much a case by case assessment by assessment basis. And, you know, so I don't know if you guys know the story of right to die legislation.
I followed it loosely. I just started researching it last week, you know, and I just I thought it was a little morbid for Halloween, like death, but not death. And I was like, no, it's spooky death.
So when you were researching that, you probably came across the name Dax Coward.
Mm-mm, not yet.
Look up Dax Coward. He was a friend of mine, an absolutely fantastic human being. His story in a nutshell is that, you know, dude was a Vietnam Air Force pilot, survived the horrors of Vietnam, comes back to the U.S., is developing land with his dad. They go to check out a piece of property in Texas, or I think it was Texas. I forget where it was at, but the valley had a natural gas leak and it filled up the valley. And then when one of them went to start their cars, the gas all ignited and exploded. Mm-hmm. And killed his dad and left him with burns over 90% of his body. When a local rancher came by to find out what had happened because he saw the explosion, they came across Dax, and Dax just wanted to end his life because he was in such pain and suffering. Well, the rancher wouldn't do it, got help, you know, got him to a hospital. He just wanted to go, and they wouldn't let him go because at the time in hospitals, it was you had to save life at all costs, period, mm-hmm. end of story. And so he had to go through a series of agonizing scrapes and treatments and burn coverings for years, just going through an endless amount of pain and suffering. Lost his fingers, lost the use of his hands, lost his eyesight, lost it really fucked him up hard. But out of that pain, he went to law school, studied to become a lawyer, and then he not only did he sue the gas company that had the leak and won, but then set his sights on right to die legislation. And that's how you end up with DNRs being a thing in hospitals.
Damn.
Well, thanks. Definitely.
That's a hell of a goddamn story, man. Holy shit.
The thing about Dax was like, Dax was an entirely different person. And like, when I say that he had no eyesight, but he could see you, it was incredible. It was really incredible. One of my favorite stories is so when I went out to California, my aunt was taking the California bar exam. I was watching the dog and just helping, you know, with a few things around there while I was there. Dax was at home and his wife was out working. And I told Dax that I was going to go work on my car. Well, Dax hadn't been able to work on vehicles since the 70s at that point. So, you know, here it is like 2014. Yeah, 2014. And Dax was like, hey, do you mind if I join you? You know, I haven't gotten to work on a car in ages. And I said, yeah, absolutely. Come on down. So, you know, we got him into his lift and got him downstairs and he, you know, got him situated. And he just sat there with me while I put in new plugs and wires in my car, nothing special. But what I did was I would hand him, you know, I'd set down like my spark plugs with him, or I'd set down my wrench with him. So, you know, he was helping.
Nice.
And so, you know, after I got my car all done and working, and I got to listen to me swear because like the Impala that I had at the time, it was a 6-cylinder and the front three spark plugs and wires were just right there. But the back three were like clear back behind the damn firewall. And it was a pain in the ass. So I get that all done. And he's just like, man, I haven't gotten to do that in a long time. He's like, it's awesome. I mean, I have no idea what you're doing because I'm sure that the engines have changed so much. And I'm like, oh, yeah, they're completely different. So you ain't like working on a 350 Chevy. And he laughs and he's like, yeah, you know. But thanks. You know, it was cool to actually get to be a part of working on cars again for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
For a lot of disabled people, the joy comes in a moment where they don't have to think about their disability, where they can just be somebody, you know? And so I really appreciate that story for you doing that, you know, because that's all it takes, you know?
You know, and that was just it. You know, dude hadn't been a part of something for, you know, 40 years, almost 50 years at that point. You know,
I'm reading that story that right now about him right now, dude. That's fucking amazing. And he was 71 when he passed away.
Yep.
Wow. And you gave him a little bit of light, a little bit of hope. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's badass, dude.
Yeah. Dax is an awesome person. And, you know, he really truly was like somebody worth knowing just because he was, like you said, he could see you and it was crazy.
And he changed the world. He changed the country, right?
Yeah, he did.
That's awesome.
His widow is now out here in Olympia, Centralia, actually. So,
mm-hmm.
Yep. Right. So,
hey, somebody go rake the leaves in her yard, or go buy her a casserole or some flowers or something. Definitely, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's been a few years since Dax passed away, and you know, she's just. She's out here just living her life right now. She's out to go see her friend/my old boss get married in Indiana. So it's cool. I have yet to get down there and go see her just because I've been so busy. But plan is that I'll get down there here shortly to go say hi and see how everybody's doing.
Was she with Dex when that happened? Were they married?
No. They met sometime later. I want to say like in the 90s or the 2000s? I forget when.
Okay.
Yeah, 90s. I want to say. They weren't together at that point, but yeah, it definitely was very interesting. And of course, you know, after Dax passed away, I ended up having a dream about him. And this is the crazy part is, so I told my boss about it just because it was something that was really crazy. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things where you just never really know if what you experienced was just a dream or if there was something more behind it. But I was dreaming that I was working on that car, and all of a sudden this guy comes up. I mean, he's a very good looking guy, and he just hands me my wrench and says thanks, and then just walks off.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked and I was like, that was Dax. I know that was Dax. And when I looked up his Air Force picture,
it was Dax.
Yeah,
that's cool.
It was so crazy. It's so weird. Like, I don't have an explanation for it. But I don't think that I need to explain it.
No, there's no need. Mm-mm.
It's just really weird. It was really cool, and you know,
it's badass, dude.
Yeah, one. It's one that I get to have. So
yeah, that's yours. Yeah, fuck yeah.
I love that. That's special. I'm not quite sure where to go from there.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place by working more efficiently. By using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
It's pretty legit though, man. I think that the fact that you even picked the time, it's like, hey man, let's go do this. Or you like helped him to get down there to share that experience with him, man. I think that was slick, dude. I mean, not many people will take the time to do that. Not many people look past, you know, injuries, not, you know, right, disabilities. They won't take the time to do that. And like, hey, let's go do this. You know what? Fuck it. Let's go run a marathon real quick. You want to go do that? There you go, one leg. But you know what? The experience, you know,
That's it. Experience. Yeah.
So, and that was what, you know, we talked a lot about. He loved working on cars. He also loved football too. He was a huge Dallas Cowboys fan. So if there's anything I can fault him for,
that would be it. Yeah.
Now that I can work with. Do you think he had an opinion on Aaron Rodgers being such a douchebag?
I guarantee you he would have, you know.
Sorry, yeah. Adam had me put my Bears jersey on so I could complain about Aaron Rodgers, the douche.
Yeah, let's talk about Aaron Rodgers.
You mean Karen Rodgers?
why is it critical thinker? Yeah.
I want to know why everybody's bagging on Rodgers. I mean,
I've had some time to think about that one. So go ahead.
I saw a post from a friend of mine. She's an amazing person, puts out a post about him saying, you know, he's always wearing those shirts, say when, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And so that came from that movie Tombstone. Remember when Doc Holliday had the tuberculosis and he was notorious for saying, say when, you know, and fucking he died from tuberculosis. Is Aaron Rodgers indicating he's got some kind of, something's happening?
Well, I mean, his contract is probably saying that, but
right. We could ask Olivia Munn, right?
Olivia Munn.
Hi, Olivia. So, I'm on the show, by the way.
Hi, Olivia.
So, so here's where I think this is
one more.
What do you got?
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, think about Olivia Munn. Go ahead. Anyways, carry on. I got one more coming.
So here's the issue. What did Aaron Rodgers say about his COVID-19 status before that? He had been immunized against COVID. What does that mean? What does that mean?
Amazing. He didn't get a shot, and he means to get sick, and he got a shot, and he thinks he's immune.
That could be it. He's never said whether or not he's had COVID before or not. But I think this is a couple of different parts. It's one part absolutely misleading, and one part I would say just absolute assholery. So when you're saying you're immunized against COVID means one of two things. A, you've had COVID. B, you've had the vaccine. People assumed that he had the vaccine. Well, for somebody who got vaccinated, what do you hear people saying? Yeah, I got vaxxed, or I've been vaccinated, something along those lines.
Now, but back then, was that the way it was, you know?
But, oh, I mean, back in August? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't remember when he said it originally, you know?
Anyway. August. So here's where this gets really messed up. So he gets COVID. And it's not until he gets COVID and people are going, what the fuck? You know, did you get a breakthrough case, or were you just an anti-vaxxer? That he says, I didn't get vaccinated.
Right.
That I had a plan in place should I get COVID. But then decides to come out and say, yeah, I'm allergic to some of the ingredients in the vaccine. So,
Is it the oil, the sugar, the salt? Which one is he allergic to?
You know, and that's just it, is that, you know, they don't have a whole lot of ingredients in them. And guess what? If he is allergic to some of the ingredients in it, like I know people who are, you know, that's great. But this is where you have this intentional dishonesty that really sits poorly with people.
That's what sits
poorly many people, with me. How many people would have been like, oh shit, you know, if Aaron Rodgers had come out and said, hey, you know, I believe in people getting the vaccine, I can't get it because I'm allergic to the contents of it.
Right.
What would people have said? Oh yeah, no, that's totally okay. You know, the whole point of the vaccine is, you know, for people who can't get the vaccine, those of us who can help create this possible herd immunity. It's like the allergy came later, and most people who I know or who I've seen posts on social media from or any number of things are very adamant. It's like, hey, look, I can't get the vaccine because I'm allergic to X, or I'm allergic to something that's in the shot. It's just not, I can't.
Or I don't want to. That's a perfectly fine excuse too.
You can say, I don't want to. That's, you know, be honest about it. It's the dishonesty about it that has left a poor taste in people's mouths. 100%. So much so, you know, he's been, you know, like he had a partnership with a health company in Wisconsin and they dropped him over it.
Yeah. He's off of Jeopardy, right?
And he's taking ivermectin and, you know, so, you know, things that aren't approved. Meanwhile, you know, we've got things like monoclonal antibodies. We've got things like a new COVID antiviral pill. They just found that there's an SSRI that seems to reduce hospitalizations by 90% and deaths or hospitalizations by 67%.
Right.
Deaths by 90% by taking a 2-a-day, 10-day dose of this medication. So the reality is that, you know, he could have said, hey, I am allergic to the shot. I'm not going to be able to take it. I have spoken with my healthcare provider and we have a set of plans that revolve around things that have been researched and approved.
Okay. Yeah, well, I think on a world stage or such a monumental stage, you have to be transparent. You don't have the luxury of being anonymous. Like, well, nobody gives a shit about this dude, Adam. You know, did he get a shot? Did he get a shot? Didn't he get a shot? I mean, nobody gives two fucks about me. On his level of where he's at in his career, on the stage he's on, he should be very transparent, you know, well, 100% transparent.
And the thing with him is he doesn't have the option. He's a part of a system. So all he does is say, I'm not getting it. And the publicist spins it. He doesn't even have to do anything. But my issue is the fact that he's a part of a team of what, 40 people, 50 people plus staff. And that doesn't sound like he's being a part of the team. Like, you always hear football players saying, I would take a bullet for my team, but you're not going to, and not being honest about it. Like, you're not standing up for anybody by saying, well, I'm standing up for freedom of choice, but I'm going to hide that so that what, people don't yell at me. I don't understand. It's such a pussy move for such a pussy quarterback. You know what I mean? Like,
agreed.
Sorry. Agreed. I mean, you've been in the league 100 years. You won one Super Bowl. Screw you. Go away.
Yeah. Nobody cares about Rodgers.
Says the Bears fan, by the way.
Yeah. Nobody cares about Rodgers. Like, nobody cares about the Cowboys, you know, fuck Rodgers, right. Fuck the Cowboys, or fuck Dallas Cowboys. Here, look, take a look. Dallas Cowboys. Fuck you. Come get some, you know what I mean? But Aaron Rodgers, man, I mean, he is considered to be one of the great quarterbacks of this time and age right now. I mean, I don't have his stats. I don't really know about exact numbers, but he's one of the greats. He does some great plays. He does some amazing shit on that, you know, Sunday night football, Thursday night, whenever he plays. He does great shit. Yes, he can, right? But he has to carry that greatness from the football field that people, kids, look up to this son of a bitch and say, hey, man, that dude is phenomenal. I want to be like Aaron Rodgers. Guess what? Aaron Rodgers is being a fucking asshole right now because he's not transparent. He's not telling the truth. He's dishonest. Yeah. He's on such a high level of celebrity ship right now. Dude, you can't do this kind of shit because you're about to burn yourself. And his girlfriend at the time right now is Shailene Woodley. Get some of that because exactly, that's what I'm saying, right? Yeah. But he's a legit superstar, and this is a career ender for him. This is not good. There's no escape.
And you know, this is one of those things where I've told my kids time and time again, do the laziest thing you ever can for yourself. Tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know why it's lazy? Because you don't have to make up these stories. You don't have to try and keep these stories straight, depending on who you're talking to. And you don't have to worry about the backlash of when somebody finds out that you're lying,
right?
That you're now going to have to cover your ass. The answer, if he really, truly was allergic, is, hey, I'm allergic, I can't get the shot. I recommend, you know, talking to your healthcare provider about getting the shot. Make your choice from there. And that's literally all he had to do. And that people would have been like, you know what? I may not agree with, you know, him saying talk to your healthcare provider about getting the shot. And I full out have had people say, like, well, why should people talk to their doctor about getting the shot? Well, who the fuck else should you really talk to about getting a shot? Your doctor knows you.
Can I interject?
Do it.
May I interject? Honestly, in all reality, the doctor really doesn't know anything until the nurse tells him. So I think I trust the nurses more than I trust my own doctor. That's just me, though. You know what I'm saying?
But Aaron Rodgers doesn't have to talk to those people. He talks to the publicist from State Farm. He talks to the publicist from the Green Bay Packers. He talks to the publicist. That's the meeting he's having where he says, I'm not getting vaccinated. Fuck you all. Spin it so I look good. And then they do. Like, he doesn't have to say or do anything to come out and say, I'm immunized. Probably pissed off every one of his publicists. And then when he came out and was like, oh, I have COVID, they were like, God damn it, Aaron. You know, shut your mouth, you dumb athlete.
Exactly. Like,
shut up and dribble, Aaron. You know? but that's my problem is that, he just... It wasn't his story to spin, and he let it get away from him, you know?
Yep.
Like, be honest, it doesn't matter. If you're allergic, you're allergic. If you just don't feel ready to get it, have that conversation so that other people feel comfortable also not ready to get it, going, okay, well, Aaron wants to learn more. I do too. I feel better about it. You know what I mean? But he, all of his, and then here's the other thing. A lot of cities have vaccine mandates in stadiums. Now, he went in there pretending that he was vaccinated by saying I'm immunized and splitting hairs, but he went into stadiums illegally in some of these stadiums.
Yeah.
You know? And that's an issue for me because he could have infected people. Well, they were all immunized, so he couldn't have affected any of them, just other team players, I guess, you know.
Now, I know Washington State is really super strict with gatherings, concerts, and things like that. And, you know, they get it. People come in, and they have to show their vax cards. I mean, you go to a concert, you have to show your vax cards. WAMU Theater, you know, going to whatever the fuck the Mariners thing is now, because they keep changing it. I think it's Tampax Stadium now. I don't know what the fuck it is. But you have to have a goddamn vax card.
Shake Weight Stadium,
right.
That's the choice of every corporation, not the government, like the stadium. Yes. If the stadium owners and the owners say we want them vaccinated, it's not the government saying make them vaccinated, and that's right. Important.
They care.
You know,
they care about the people that are coming in. It's like, well, you know what? On one side of the story, you get, you know, these people are trying to control people, get everybody get immunized. You have to do this. On the other side of these business owners, they're like, well, fuck, I want people to come back. How about this? Present the, you know, hey, just get vaccinated, show that you got vaccinated, and then you can come in and have a good fucking time. Take your underwear off, throw it at somebody, fucking smuggle somebody's plums. I don't give a fuck. But as long as you have the vax card, guess what? You can come in. And I think that's a good move for businesses, for sports teams. And I think it's a shit move for people like Aaron Rodgers, who have that status, who think they're above the law or above caring and compassion for their fellow human being, because that's all you're doing is throwing people under the bus when you're like, lie to them like that. I mean,
that's the other thing. He could have done the Donald Trump move of getting vaccinated and never saying anything about it again, right? He could have just been like, yeah, I'm fine, and moved on being vaccinated. Because you again, know, and there's very limited allergies to the vaccine, and you can be tested for those ahead of time. So that's something he could have said.
You know, and I will also say too that for people who are concerned about whether or not they should get a booster, guess what? There's a great tool out there. You can talk to your doctor about getting an antibody test done. Find out if you actually need the booster. You know,
that's a good move. That's a legit move, dude.
You know, because great, you know, yes, the shot is free, but you know, if you've already gotten both shots, like I have, if you've already had COVID, like I've had, you know, I'm weighing whether or not I should get a booster. And then I was like, you know what, maybe I should get an antibody test done first, see where my antibody levels are at. And if I'm solid and have plenty of antibodies in my system, great. Then I'm going to leave that shot open for somebody who needs it. But if I go in there and they say, hey, look, your antibody levels are low, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to get myself a booster.
Yeah, that's legit, man. That's called, that's something that I like to call thinking outside the box and thinking about other people. Like for you, you're thinking about your family. You know what I mean? Think about your roommate, your kids. I mean, the missus, you know, it's not a selfish thing for you to be like, man, I care. You know what I mean? And I think that's fantastic, dude. Like, but you're also... I'm sorry, but you're also thinking about too. It's like, man, if I don't need it, fuck, I'm giving it to somebody else or let somebody else have something like that. So that's, I think this is where Aaron Rodgers really, really messed up, dude. He's not thinking about other people. He's only thinking about where's he getting that next, you know, money, you know?
Yep.
And it sucks. It sucks.
And now because, you know, he now has a history of being a liar very publicly, it makes it very difficult for him. You know, he's decided to take the way of pain and make things more difficult for himself for no good reason.
That sucks. That really sucks.
Yeah, what is he going to endorse being a known liar, right?
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
Can't say buy State Farm because why would I trust a liar, right?
Right. You know, and you know damn good and well that all of these corporations are having that conversation. Like, what do we do with this? You know, because, you know, it doesn't... I would say that whether or not you're committed to getting the vaccine or not doesn't really matter in this scenario. The issue at hand is the lack of honesty, you know, and that in and of itself is the problem.
You know, like the woke mafia gets mad at on me, especially on Twitter. But what I am on Twitter, I say on here all the time. And it's that it's your personal choice. Like you really have to. I'm not pushing anybody to get a vaccine or not get a vaccine. I believe people should live the life that in their heart tells them the next day that is a good life. And I'm never going to push somebody to do something that I don't have enough information about. You know, I'm not judging you for not getting a vaccine because I haven't lived a mile in your shoes. I don't know you, you know. Right. If you can get it, please get it. But if you can't get it, at least stand up for other people that maybe can't get it. He could have been a great advocate for a portion of the vaccine we don't understand very well, and that's allergies. A lot of people don't talk about that. We talk about immune suppression, you know, like people that can't get it because of their systemic illnesses. But an allergy, he could have really been an advocate for something like that. And that's a real shame. That's a missed opportunity in the larger discussion, you know?
Yeah, that's a good look right there.
Especially when you look at the fact that, you know, we've got a bunch of people around the country that are facing these prospects of potentially losing their job, and you don't really have a solid medical exemption process in place.
Not
and
at all.
So and that's a big problem, because, you know, if you know, when you look at what reasonable accommodation looks like, especially under the ADA, something that, you know, Jason's very familiar with, I would make the argument that the inability to take vaccines is a disability in some regard. Mm-hmm. The reason being is that, you know, you literally don't have a choice. That, you know, you take the shot, you're going to face severe outcomes from it, or you're going to be completely set aside by society. And that doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah. Right. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. I think, you know, in our industry, we have that, you know, that you have to do this. It's a requirement. You have to get your shot. We lost a lot of good fucking people, like on the 18th of October, you know, a lot of good troopers, a lot of phenomenal troopers. I mean, not all state troopers are assholes. And a lot of the ones we lost were fucking amazing. A lot of great DOT employees. Everybody just walked. And then we have, you know, those arrogant type that just like, you know what? I'm not getting a shot. You can't tell me. I quit. And it's like, dude, what about your family? I mean, at that point, you have to think about not only yourself, like you said, like you did, Jeffrey. I mean, you got to think about the bigger picture. And for me and for a lot of us, the bigger picture is our family and our stability and how we're going to make that next dollar. But to this mandate, dude, is that we have, it's horrific. It's horrifying. I mean, it's like nobody, all that option, that choice is taken away from us. We're not allowed. And so now when Fear Inslee puts out his deal saying, hey, guess we have to do this. You are going to do this. It's like, look, dickhead, give at least offer the option of people who can or cannot, who are, have these medical disabilities, that these allergies, these situations that you know shit about. You can't limit somebody. It's like telling a woman she can't do something with her own body. It's like telling a person you can't end your life. This is borderline bullshit because, well, if it's not crossed over full cannonball into the pond bullshit, it's legit wrong, dude.
I mean, out of my healthcare, right? Like, I'm not the average. Of our healthcare. I'm a unique individual with entirely unique medical needs that a politician averaging out for the entire population just doesn't get. You don't understand the individual situations. So let a doctor decide. Like, there's exemptions on disability. You can sign up for disability if you have long-term COVID effects, but you can't sign up for disability if, like Jeffrey said, you have an allergy to vaccines, and that's an issue that we should discuss. That's something that we, you know, like, protect us ahead of time, but don't invasively get into my medicine and remove the options from a doctor's advice, you know?
Right. And so, you know, now you know, my doctor that I go see flat out, it's like, we're not handing out exemptions. You know, medical exemptions. And it's like, you know, on one side, great, you know, but on the other side, like, if there was a great way and I think this is a national conversation that needs to be had, is what does an allergy exemption to vaccine mandates look like? Because, you know, that's not something that's just going to affect a bunch of stubborn dickheads that that some of them are. Yep. Right. It's going to affect a lot of people. Kids that are going to school, adults that have to be in the workplace, and they shouldn't be punished because their body has flat out rejected what we have available to them.
Right.
Yep.
In which case, you know what? Then what that conversation needs to be is, hey, you know, what do we do in the short term to make sure that people who can't get the shot are going to be safe? Does that mean, does that mean that people who have an allergy to the medication, to the vaccine, are given things like the COVID antiviral pill, that they're given frontline access to monoclonal antibodies when they test positive? Because the reality is that, you know, the vaccine does reduce transmission. You go from about a 1 in 8 to a 1 in 14,000 chance of getting a breakthrough case of COVID as it stands right now. The reality
pills,
is
the pills, by the way, the new one is 89% effective. So,
And so legitimately, like, you know, you have these, you know, especially with the antiviral, is going to be a huge game changer for hospitals. And around I would argue that it's going to be,
Merck, by the way, is giving away free so that it can be produced globally by countries.
Pfizer and Merck are partnering up to make sure that this gets distributed. Why? Because the economy is, the economy worldwide is fucking hurting from all of this. But the reality is that, number one, breakthrough cases are going to happen. Number two, as long as the virus keeps mutating, there are going to be chances that we're, you know, somebody who's vaccinated is going to end up, period, in a story. But number three, the people who are vulnerable to it should have an option available to them that the moment they've got, you know, a positive COVID test, it's like, all right, let's begin this process. Let's get this rolling. Right. You know, that way it's like, hey, I feel like crap right now, but if I start taking this antiviral, all I'm going to feel is like crap. You know, because what else are you going to do? It's like sit there and let them wait until they're absolutely in death's grip and then be like, okay, I suppose it's time to get you into the hospital. Oh, by the way, we don't have any beds and you're going to be sitting in the hallway.
which the hallway is the real bullshit place to be, man. Let me tell you, when I got injured in 08, I got I blew something out in my back anyway. And so they're like, they put me in the hallway. The hallway is a fucking nightmare because one, they tell you, well, change into the scan. Well, shit. All right. I guess I'm changing. And here I am. Willie out. You know what I'm saying? You know, and it was not a pleasant sight. You know, I mean, not even for me.
You put me on Demerol in a hospital hallway and fuck, you're insane, man.
Oh no.
I'll find that red phone every time.
Right. And so
it's a fuck place to be, dude.
Like we have all of these great medical advancements, and now we need a further cutting of the red tape. And this is one thing where if there's anything that Donald Trump got right during his presidency, it was cutting red tape to get this medication and vaccine process rolling. He cut the tape to get the funding out there to get this shit moving. I would say that is the only thing that he actually got right. Yeah. Like really truly right. And the he's fact still an of the asshole, matter, by the way. Oh, absolutely. He's still an asshole.
Fuck him.
But he's an
fuck
asshole Trump. Hey, let's go Trump. Let's go Brandon.
Fuck them all.
Fuck them all.
Which I got thoughts on that, but we'll get to that one.
But I do respect the truck driver that spent $2,200 to get elected. Like, fuck yeah, man.
Right.
And you most know, of that was on Dunkin' Donuts, by the way.
Yeah.
So you know, we need to address the fact that there are going to be people out there that can't get the vaccine. And the way that we have to address that is we need to make sure that the people who can't get vaccinated have those medications handily available to them in case shit happens. Like, you know, you know, with the caveats, like, look, don't be taking this until you need it.
Yeah.
Because you will need it at some point and you will want to have it for the moment. And, you know, with the monoclonal antibodies, that's got to be done in a hospital. That's great. We'll get you on the fucking medication. You'll have that little fucking 20 pill pack waiting for you at your house, you know, for each of your family members who can't get vaccinated. And the moment that hits, you start taking that medication, you come in, see us for the antibody treatment. Let's make sure that you stay safe. And that's really how it should be. Yeah. It's like, sorry, you can't get vaccinated. Here's the reasonable accommodation that we have to try and keep you from dying or ending up in the hospital.
I think it's a phenomenal solution, man. I mean, just get tested. I mean, get your antibodies tested. That's what you talked about earlier. It's like, you know, go and get those antibodies tested, see if you can, cannot, see what needs to be You know, what can be helped? How can we help you? You know, that's what we should be doing, right? You know, the medical community.
Right. My mom actually just went and got an antibody test done because, you know, the boobs are out. My mom's in what's considered the at-risk age group. She's in her 60s. She's had cancer. She's had chemo and radiation. She had COVID, got the double shot of Moderna, and went in to find out, do I really need to get this booster? And if I remember right, she said that they like to see their antibody count in like the 70 to 90 range. My mom's antibody count was at 250.
Nice.
Well, hell so, yeah. That's why she's a
guess
animal.
What?
Hell yeah.
So guess what? Mom don't need a booster. Fantastic. Yeah. Somebody else that awesome. Needs it can get it.
Yeah. But I think it's not political, it's medical. And I think absolutely. Everybody can get on board, red or blue. Like, get out of my healthcare. Stop making me decide politically based, you know, how I should take care of myself. Just get out of the way and let my doctor tell me what to do, you know.
Keep the political out of the medical, and keep your goddamn religion out of my fucking medicine as well, you know. And it will be just fine. 100%.
Exactly. I love it. Thank you for listening to the first hour of Public Access America. You can find us on Spotify, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, The Reader, Audible, or Amazon Music. And you can find our live stream on YouTube at Public Access America, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
To those who would tear the world down, we will defeat you.
This is our moment. This is our time.
To those who seek peace and security, we support you.
Yes, we can.
And to all those who have wondered if America's beacon still burns as bright, tonight we prove once more that the true strength of our nation comes not from the might of our arms or the scale of our wealth, but from the enduring power of our ideals, democracy, liberty, opportunity, and unyielding hope.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbow. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life.
Ask not.
Yes, we can.
What your country can do for you.
I have a dream.
Ask what you can do for your country.
I, poor little children.
Yes, we can.
One day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression.
In this lifetime, you don't have to prove nothing to nobody except yourself.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward.
That's how winning is done.
Welcome
to Public Access America.
Yes, we can.
Sunday live streams on YouTube.
I wanted to run out of that tunnel for my dad.
On Twitter.
Apple
Podcasts. Stitcher.
Smart Radio app.
Public. And Spotify.
Yes, we can.
Public Access America. History in the making. Making history in the making.
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.